Today, you see, if you go to Iraq, in any part of Iraq, you will feel that people are suffering.
A year ago, the demand from Washington was unconditional, unfettered access by UN inspectors. Now, the U.S. administration questions the competence of the team.
I'm a World War II veteran. I was commissioned as an infantry officer in France in 1944.
The people stopped the war in Vietnam. It was not a vote in the Congress. It wasn't through an administration or a president.
This is Pacifica's Peace Watch for Monday, December 9th, 2002. I'm Verna Avery Brown. The UN Security Council reversed itself late Sunday and handed over to the United States and the four other permanent council members, Britain, France, Russia, and China, full copies of the 12,000-page declaration. Deputy Russian Ambassador Gennady Gatilov said the United States had taken the council's lone copy to Washington, where it would make duplicates for distribution to the four other council members. The 10 non-permanent members, including Syria, will see only a censored version of the document once weapons inspectors have gone through the report and removed sensitive material, including possible instructions on bomb making. Angered by the deal cut over the weekend by Secretary of State Colin Powell, diplomats said Syria plan to protest the arrangement during Security Council's consultations today. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said it would take some time to review the declaration, and he called on Washington and others to be patient with the inspectors. The inspectors will have to review them, analyze them, and report to the Council, and I think that's going to take a while, he said. In Washington, White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer withheld judgment on the massive documentation and said the United States wants to study the material thoroughly, completely and fully and thoughtfully. Hans von Sponeck, former UN Humanitarian Aid Project Coordinator, says there's little to object to if one is interested in a peaceful resolution. He quit his post in the year 2000 because of U.S. sanctions against Iraq, which he perceived to be a punitive policy that was causing suffering to innocent civilians. During an interview today with Peace Watch, von Sponeck says he's disappointed with senators in the U.S. who are commenting that the report contains false information and says one has to recognize the effort Baghdad has made to comply with Resolution 1441.
Now comes the time when this massive volume of paper needs to be looked at. There are enough specialists around the world that can do that, that can help the UN to assess what is in there. And if there are items, and there will be, no question, with this tricky arms business involving a lot of dual-use facilities in Iraq that can be used to make peaceful things like pesticides or evil things like biological and chemical agents, there will be question marks. But then it's for the UN team of arms inspectors in Iraq to verify, to look, and report back to the U.S. in Washington, but the United Nations, including the U.S., in New York.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last 3 to 4 years of that report, I understand, are actually in Arabic, and so it would require translation of that. But is it fair to say that those are the years that the Bush administration and the UN Security Weapons Inspectors team would be most interested in, the last 3 to 4 years?
Naturally, they want to, and on the ground, that's what they're doing now. They're looking at facilities and find out what has happened in this period since the inspectors were withdrawn, not thrown out of Iraq, as is often wrongly reported. They were withdrawn in 98. What has happened since is of great interest. And so far, the indications are that there is no discrepancy between what the Iraqis have claimed that they do not have. in the facilities that were looked at already anything that disagreed with what they maintained. And by the way, I should add here that one of these facilities that the inspectors have gone to is one that I have seen on two occasions. One when I was in office in 1999 in Baghdad, a vaccine producing facility called Aldora. It was destroyed then. I went back with the German television last July, and the same picture showed itself then, and now the arms inspectors have found a similar situation. They have concluded there is nothing. Now, this must be allowed to continue, and then one has to compare what they find with what is in the dossiers that were published by the government of President Bush on the 12th of September, by the British government on the 24th of September also, and by the International Institute of Strategic Studies earlier on the 9th of September, and see what is the finding of the inspectors and what is in these reports, and follow-up leads that Western intelligence and other intelligence agencies may provide to verify what the Iraqis are claiming. Mm.
What were the findings of the team in 1998 after they were withdrawn? What was the final report on the status of Baghdad and Saddam Hussein's capability of producing weapons of mass destruction?
Well, I keep in mind that I'm not a disarmament expert here, but what the reports showed is that, and this is unfortunately not acknowledged sufficiently, that a lot of progress was made in all four areas, in the area of ballistic missiles, in the area of nuclear capability, and in with regard to biological and chemical weapons. A lot of good work had been done, and the disarming had progressed very much. There was a disagreement really in the end, only a serious disagreement in one area, that was the biological area, where there was a claim that they had also been disarmed there, and the UN felt that they didn't have all the answers that they needed. The big question was the missing information likely to be so serious that one should be internationally concerned? And, of course, there are widely divergent views on that subject, and this is why it is so important that the UN arms inspectors now, with better technology, much improved technology, can carry out their work and report back to the Security Council.
Well, many analysts in this country, as well as the Bush administration, have said that they doubt that the UN inspectors will ever be able to actually find the weapons of mass destruction, if they exist, that Saddam has had 3 to 4 years now to really bury them in underground tunnels, and that if he comes back and says that he has nothing, then that basically constitutes a breach.
Yeah. Well, it's I think for the international community to find out as much as they can, and let me remind ourselves here, at the time when the U.S. government thought that Iraq would never agree to the return of the arms inspectors a year ago, the demand from Washington was unconditional, unfettered access by UN inspectors. So at that time, the belief seemed to be that they can do a job. Now, when they were allowed to return, suddenly you question, not you, but the U.S. administration questions the competence of the team. And I think an important term here one should mention is fingerprints. I don't think that the Iraqis, disabled and weakened as they are in the last 12 years, are in a position to be so sophisticated that they can totally hide things that they are doing. With people on the ground now, with sophisticated detection equipment, I think there is every reason to believe that fingerprints, at least, can be discovered, which show if the Iraqis are trying to mislead, that they are misleading. And one should in my view now, really give the UN and Iraq a chance to proceed with this inspection process and then start deciding what the value of what these groups of specialists are bringing back into the Security Council, what value that has.
What is your reaction to reports that Saddam Hussein actually has the capability, the instructions, and the materials to make a nuclear bomb? Does that make you uneasy at all?
It does not make me at all uneasy, because I believe here what I read and hear and what I discussed also with colleagues from the International Atomic Energy Agency. I think one should give them credibility. I think they have made it very clear that you cannot, in 3 years of sanctions, produce a device that is that one can call a nuclear capability, as even the reports that are available now, for example, from the International Institute for Strategic Studies say there is no evidence at all that Iraq has that capacity. However, if fissile material could become available, then maybe Iraq scientists could put together something dangerous. So there's a big if here. And the answer that I think the international community, particularly the International Atomic Energy Agency, is giving is there's absolutely no evidence that at this point Iraq has that capability. And we should also remember that despite the refusal by the Iraq government to allow UN arms inspectors back until recently, the International Atomic Energy Agency did have every year inspection tours into Iraq as part of an international agreement on the monitoring of peaceful nuclear facilities. And it is they who have referred to fingerprinting, being able to discover if there was more than what they were seeing because of their expertise.
It's being reported in the mainstream that in the mainstream media that the Bush administration has pretty much admitted that they don't have a smoking gun in this situation. And it's being speculated now that perhaps the Bush administration will look to possible defectors to say, well, we know that he has this material because we saw it or we worked on it or something, and thereby constitute a breach in the in the contract and the resolution. Your thoughts on that?
Well, what I want to say is on the 15th of November, Richard Perle, the policy advisor to Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, was in London. And on that occasion, he said, we only need one scientists to tell us that Iraq and Saddam Hussein have continued to manufacture weapons of mass destruction. We don't need more. Now, with this unfortunate pressure out of Washington to make Iraqi scientists come to Western locations to be interviewed in the hope that they may defect, I think it becomes very nasty. This whole thing is becoming once again so dominated by one government. One should let Dr. Blix now decide on how to handle this and get the information, and not try now to find a man or a woman for whatever reason willing to say what the other side wants to hear, and on that basis then conjure a case for military confrontation.
Hans von Sponeck, former UN Humanitarian Aid Project Coordinator from 1998 to 2000, speaking with us from Geneva, Switzerland. A handful of lawmakers from the Progressive Caucus in the House came together this afternoon on the Hill with an anti-war message. They challenged the Bush administration to let the UN weapons inspectors do their job. The event was organized by Ohio Democrat Dennis Kucinich.
As you know, it was about 2 months ago that nearly two-thirds of the Democrats in the House of Representatives voted against going to war in Iraq. And I think that our position at the time reflected and reflects widespread concern in this country about the administration's policies. At that time, no proof was made available that Iraq was connected to 9/11. No proof was made available that Iraq worked with al-Qaeda. No proof was offered that Iraq was connected with the anthrax attacks on this nation. No proof was brought forward that Iraq had usable weapons of mass destruction. No proof was brought forward that demonstrated that Iraq had the capacity to strike America with weapons of mass destruction. On the day before the vote, the CIA said Iraq did not pose an imminent threat to the United States. Quote, unprovoked by the U.S., Iraq is unlikely to initiate a chemical or biological attack against the United States, unquote. Since then, the Security Council has voted for inspections. The inspections are underway, and so far the inspectors have not been able to determine whether or not Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. While the process of compliance has been underway, our administration, unfortunately, has engaged in the rhetoric of war talk and threats against Iraq. Such war talk undermines the inspections process because it implies the administration is prepared to go to war no matter what. The war talk puts the administration at odds with the very inspection program they initiated. John Conyers.
Right now I'm on a very detailed search to find out who's for war. I am likely to be wearing a pin that doesn't say no war. I'm going to start wearing a pin that says war and see if somebody will come up and shake my hand and say, right on, my man. That's what we really want to do, because nobody out there that I'm associating with wants war. The city councils around this country, in my city of Detroit, in Kalamazoo, Michigan, have already passed resolutions opposing the war. There's a groundswell of opposition to the war from interfaith coalitions of religious leaders. For example, the Council of Religious Leaders of Metropolitan Chicago, including the Archdiocese Cardinal, the Methodist and Episcopal Archbishops, the head of the Council of Rabbis, have released a letter to President Bush opposing the war. These are not pacifists or particularly progressives. Many supported Desert Storm and the offensive against the Taliban and al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. The people stopped the war in Vietnam. It was not a vote in the Congress. It wasn't through an administration or a president. And I think that mood among the people is actually stronger, is potentially stronger now than it was even then.
Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York has been dynamic and passionate in his pursuit of peace and truth in this House. Thank you for joining us.
There's no question that a war by the United States against Iraq is very unpopular with large numbers of people in our country. It's also true, however, that a lot of people are very confused about this whole business at the moment. And I think that a lot of the confusion is as a result of the fact that the Bush administration still has not made the case for a war with Iraq, in spite of an extraordinary propaganda campaign that has been put forth by the administration. Now, there have been some results of that propaganda campaign. One of the results, recent polls have shown, is that nearly two-thirds of the American people believe that Iraq had something to do with the attack of September 11th of 2001. When there is absolutely no evidence that that is the case. None whatsoever. The administration has not put forth any evidence. No other source has provided any evidence, any indication that there is any connection between Iraq and bin Laden, between Iraq and the al-Qaeda network, and certainly no connection between Iraq and the attack of September 11th, 2001. So there is a lot of confusion. And somehow we have to break through that confusion and give the facts to the American people so that they are better equipped to come to decisions with regard to this momentous decision, which the administration is apparently determined to make sometime next month. That is, in fact, to launch a war. We know that essentially all of the apparatus is now in place to carry out that purpose. There's one other thing that we need to keep in mind, and that is this. Increasingly, American policies are making the American government less popular among people around the world. Now, this is certainly true of Muslim countries, but it is increasingly true of people who are our traditional friends and allies.
She has been courageous and a prophetess in our midst, Barbara Lee from California.
Let me thank Congressman Kucinich and all of my colleagues here for continuing to lead the charge and to continue sending out the message that peace is definitely patriotic. I'm very concerned, like all of my colleagues are, that it appears that the Bush administration is really undermining the work of the United Nations inspectors in Iraq. The Bush administration introduced the Security Council resolution that called for the inspectors to go back into Iraq. Supposedly, that resolution represented a position that the Bush administration was really willing to work on a multilateral basis. Now, the inspections process is barely a week old, yet already the administration seems to have given up on it. What is the Bush administration afraid of with regard to the inspectors? I say that we should let them do their job.
Barbara Lee of California. Thanks to Free Speech Radio News reporter Josh Chaffin for that segment. As concern about the war on Iraq grows, the Houston Coalition for Justice, Not War, is taking action outside of the local peace and justice community in order to encourage members of the general public to take a stand for peace. In this report from Honore Brown and Jeff Barber of the Houston Independent Media Center and Pacifica Station KPFT, we hear from the organizers of a weekly peace vigil in central Houston and some of the people they reached.
When Congress granted George W. Bush power to make war in Iraq, the Houston Coalition for Justice Not War knew they had to show their opposition to this decision in a public way. They decided to begin holding a weekly candlelit vigil every Friday night at a fountain located in the heart of the city. The fountain is situated in the middle of a traffic circle where people come from the surrounding museum district, medical center, a university, and one of the city's largest parks. Coalition organizers Ken Freeland and Robert Calvin explained that this non-political site was chosen as a place where peace-conscious people can make their appeal to the general population and encourage them to take a stand against the impending war in Iraq.
We think it's important to have a weekly presence someplace where people know. They see us every week when they come by here on their way home from work, and they say, there are people who think enough about this war situation. So it seems like, at least from the standpoint of these motorists, the anti-war sentiment is growing. People will honk their horns or wave the peace sign at us. Tonight, a number of people have just rolled down their window and said, thank you for doing this, you know. So it's very encouraging. There's nothing political about our site, but it's just a very nice, visible thing. I mean, it's hard to describe to people that are not here to see it, but we're surrounding a huge fountain out in the middle of a traffic circle, and people just have to notice this when they go by, and it's very effective in that respect. Very visible here.
Our group is sponsoring lots of different activities all the time, depending on the circumstances, but we wanted to have one point of reference, someplace that we could have consistent to show that there's a constant vigilance against the war, and hopefully it'll keep growing and growing and more people will see it. The people that drive by here every day will see this regularly and perhaps spread the word, and then more people will show up and more people will get the word.
This weekly candlelit vigil has been instrumental in inspiring the average person in Houston to make a stand for peace, as well as providing them with the means to do so. Some of the private citizens who saw the vigil and decided to get involved explained why they chose to do so.
I'm not an actual member of any of these groups. I was just one of the people who, like, saw it, stopped and asked what happened. I was pretty concerned with this war. I'm pretty horrified by the horror prospect, and so when I saw them out there, I was glad someone was doing something, because like it's really kind of terrifying to me how much protest is not being done against this war. I guess I can understand after last year some of the fears of people. Honestly, I can't see like any benefit of this war. I really don't understand how anyone, you know, who has like some ethical sense could be supportive of it. And so I'm just out here hoping that somehow it galvanizes other people.
Here as just a private citizen, because some friends called me and said they were going to be here. I'm a school teacher, so future of the world was really important to me. I think that the worst thing that we can do is teach our children that war is the answer to solving problems. And I'm afraid that our president is kind of that model right now. I heard him speak the other night, and he said even if they dismantled what he believes to be the manufacturing of the bombs and the gas and everything, he's still going to go to war. So, I mean, it's all about, let's just have a war. You know, let's ignore the problems we have in our own country. Poverty and the education and raising children to believe that fighting is the way to get things done. And go over and bomb another country. And basically they can't do anything to fight back. I don't believe this is the way I want the next 50 years to be, which is how long I'll be on this earth. And I don't want the children that are growing up to believe that this is the way to get things done. I teach caring and compassion in my classroom, and if I did not promote caring and compassion, I'd be a hypocrite, and I'm not a hypocrite.
That report was brought to us by Honore Brown and Jeff Barber of the Houston Independent Media Center and Pacifica Station KPFT in Houston. Turkish leader Recep Tayyip Erdogan arrives in Washington tonight for meetings with George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, and Donald Rumsfeld. On the agenda, whether the Bush administration will be allowed to launch its attack on Iraq from Turkey military bases. Aaron Glantz is in Istanbul and files this report.
Ergun Omas is one of Turkey's few war resistors. Employers are barred from hiring him because he refused to serve in the Turkish army.
If Turkey gets into the war, so many people will fight in the war, and they will die.
But it seems Turkey will enter the war in Iraq on the side of America. Turkey's new Islamist leader arrives in Washington tonight on the heels of a trip by senior U.S. officials to Turkey. In Ankara last week, American Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz promised $3.5 billion in new military aid to Turkey, and Turkey gave the Bush administration what it wanted, the go-ahead to use American and Turkish bases to launch any war on Iraq that has United Nations approval. The call to prayer on Eid, the holiest day on the Islamic calendar. Religious Muslims are a key part of the Turkish anti-war coalition. Feris Kaya is a leader of Istanbul's Sufi community.
A lot of people will get killed, and most of them are innocents. And I believe that if Bush wants to kill Saddam Hussein, he can. Without destroying a single building, without killing a baby. He can, but he doesn't. So he wants to kill more people.
A Pew Center poll released today shows 83% of Turks agree with Kaya and oppose the war in Iraq. But don't expect that to turn into vocal public opposition, says peace activist Ingi Algari.
We know that we lived in Turkey. In 1980, there was a revolution by the army in Turkey. So we know that they were coming to our homes without permission, and they are reading all our books, all our things, and they were punishing us. And because of this, the people are afraid of the army. So because of this, this is the reason for not to reject these things.
Olması doğru olduğunu göstermiyor ama doğal olarak insanlar korkuyorlar.
Sufi leader Feris Kaya agrees. He says only one group of people can stop the war in Iraq, the American people.
They can stop. Because simply, I mean, in America, I know everything is working with what? Okay. Everything is equal, has equivalent of what? So if they put pressure on Bush, they can stop him. They can. They should ask him to find another way of doing that, the peaceful, peaceful means of doing, something to get rid of Saddam. But today, you see, if you go to Iraq, in any part of Iraq, you will feel that people are suffering. And not Saddam and his relatives are suffering. Poor and needy people are suffering. And we are going to be accountable about that.
Deputy U.S. Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz has asked Turkey to mobilize a force of 35,000 troops in the fight against Iraq. Tomorrow's meeting may indicate Turkey's willingness to put its own soldiers on the line in this unpopular war. For Pacifica's Peace Watch, I'm Aaron Glantz in Istanbul.
You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. When we come back, we remember a man who dedicated his life to developing peaceful alternatives to war.